on gluttony and on lust. Why are those two chapters right next to each other? For the same reason that God made us anatomically like this, right? Our stomach and our genitalia are right next to each other. There's a reason that they're right next to each other, because they're very intimately connected. When we over-gratify the stomach, it stirs up the genitalia. And therefore, if you want to calm the genitalia down, you have to control the stomach. And so he gives this beautiful prescription. Teach the person not to eat so much, discipline the stomach, humble their body, and see that it's serious by, but not so serious, right? It's not 10 years, it's 40 days. This is his abstention. This is St. John's wisdom. It's very beautiful. Practically speaking, I think that this sin is an epidemic. We're living in an epidemic of this sin. It's probably the number one sin, I bet, that we hear from men. And more women, because women are being made into men. They're being forced into men. And so, you may know better, but I think this is a little extreme, even for modern people. I mean, even though St. John, you know, when St. John wrote this, you know what happened? Some of the fathers refused to accept his canons because he said they were what? Too lenient. Too lenient. Because he moderated, he took the canons of St. Basil, and the canons of St. Gregory, and the canons of St. Athanasius, and the councils, and he took their years, like 15 years, and he made them smaller. And then he added other things. Many people think that he was really trying to be lenient. That's not his goal. What he said, he justified himself, St. John did. And he said, the reason I've done this is because then the fathers only penned someone by abstention from Holy Communion, because that was so painful for the Christians at that time. He said, today many people don't receive Holy Communion anyway. And therefore I've reduced the number, and I've given them, in fact, some other things that they're not going to be happy about, like not eating what they want, and having to do prostrations every day. So he actually justified his explanation. But, you know, brothers, we live in slop. The chances that are for our people to stay pure are smaller and smaller and smaller. But I think we should still preserve these three things. I'll just tell you, I mean, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. My basic advice to someone is to have abstention. I tell them this. When they fall to that, they must come to confession before Holy Communion, period. If they fall to that, they have no blessing to go to Holy Communion. If they're very contrite, maybe they can go after they've come to confession and read the prayers for purity. If they're not so contrite, 2 weeks. Be pure for 2 weeks. Show the Lord how much you value Holy Communion. Keep your purity and go. This is easy enough done. I think our people can do the metanias. And they certainly have to get some control of fasting. But the principle there is so beautiful. You know, he's addressing the sin with appropriate cure. You know, brothers, I also just remembered something I should mention to you. I say it with my head down because I feel so bad to have to mention it. But St. John also mentions in his 10th canon that with regards to priests, that if this sin happens to a priest, he can be forgiven one time. But that the second time he's demoted to a reader. He's demoted to a reader. I mean, it's serious for us. Serious for us. And we have to be examples to our people. If we can't conquer it, how are they going to conquer it? Such a plague. Okay, the differences. Okay, on His Grace's request, I will just say something about Roman numeral number 3, which is Jurunda and Spiritual Fathers. The first thing I'd like to do is recommend a beautiful book that some of you have. It's called Spiritual Direction in the Early Christian East, published by Cistercian. Especially the foreword, which is about 25 pages long. Bishop Callistos Ware wrote it. It's just pure nectar, brothers. It's gold. It's all on what a spiritual father is. So I would recommend that. The second thing I wanted to note is the continuum of experience. Just like we evaluated sins like this, we can evaluate confessors like this. From those who are, you know, just ordained or just given the epigonatian to those who have been confessing people for 50 years. I mean, when you're a new doctor, right, you go and you do an apprenticeship with an experienced doctor. This is how it works. You can't expect if you just get out of medical school that you're going to be able to go into a practice and just be competent. So there's a great continuum, even amongst those who are equals, like us, pastors, married priests. There's a great continuum. There are some priests here who have so many years of experience and should be confessing more people and giving them better guidance. And therefore, those of us who are new and young, and stupid,